a big hand, everybody.
Thank you. Good afternoon. Well, it's afternoon somewhere, I'm sure. You know, it's good to be here for birthday celebrations. I'm this year I turned 65, which I know for, you know, and now the government is paying me to stay alive. And so, but this is one thing I've learned in all these years. Birthdays are good for you because the more you have, the longer you live. And so they're really good. And so I think that's good for churches as well, to celebrate birthdays, because the more you have, the longer you live. Because there is a part of that that I want to talk about this morning. And it was, I love the way God will plant something in me as I go to preach somewhere. And as I was just driving up this morning from Lower Hutt, I was just singing a song in my head, and because I do that. Because God said, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. He didn't say make a tuneful, and so that means everyone has the opportunity to make a joyful noise, and that means joyful. You can't make a joyful noise unto the Lord going like, oh, I don't like that. It's like people come to me sometimes in church and they say, you know, I don't like that song. Well, it's all right, we weren't singing it to you. And it's like, the reality is we're making a joyful noise unto the Lord. And that joy has a source. And I'm going to talk about some of that source today. I'm not talking about tomato sauce. I'm not talking about Worcester sauce or any of the other stuff. It's the reality is, you know, we are building on foundations. And the foundation that we are building on is, of course, what Jesus laid. The Bible clearly says that. And we are building on the foundations of the early church. Now, I wasn't around in the early church. I know, you know, I'm an old man, and I when I went to school, you know, it was last millennium. So, you know, I survived. Yeah, when we rode dinosaurs to school. And I said that down south recently, and this little boy came up to me and said, what did they feel like? Scary. One of the things that I enjoy is the fact that I can be coming along and I was singing, and how great is our God, how great is our God, and I walk into church and we sing the same song. And God has been stirring me about what to share this morning, and Tony gets up and says half my message, so it's like, that means lunch is coming really fast because I'm a man of few words, and so it's good, because if I use them all up, you know, there'll be none left for me to share tonight when I'm going to be in Lower Hutt, a few million. It's celebrations are good, and celebrations are times of thanksgiving. And I'm thankful for the early church. I'm thankful for the day of Pentecost. Anyone grateful for the day of Pentecost? Yeah, absolutely. So I have a challenge for you. How many times this week have you actually consciously said, God, I'm thankful for the day of Pentecost? You see, it's so easy to have things there, but we just forget to say thank you. We can say, yeah, I'm so glad for it, but there's a difference between having gladness and having thanksgiving. And having thanksgiving gives us the foundation for ongoing joy, because we're rooted into something solid. We wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for the day of Pentecost. Church could not start until there was the day of Pentecost. And then the church started, and there's, very quickly, I just want to say some of the characteristics of the early church. You see, we've had 2,000 years of various expressions of what we could call church. But I like to go back to the foundations. Paul says, as a wise master builder, I don't want to build on the wrong foundations, and I don't want to build something that doesn't fit the foundations. Because if you build that something that doesn't fit the foundations, then your building is going to actually collapse. Jesus told a parable about that. My dad was a builder. He was a master builder. When I was at intermediate, my dad was there and he would say, "Okay, son, I'm doing foundations." And so for 3 days, I was only 11. For 3 days, I was swinging a banjo. That was what we used to call the shovel. And I was feeding the mixer while Dad was doing the foundations on the house. You say, was that child abuse? No, I've never regretted it because it got me out of school. And so I'd be there mixing the concrete and it would go. My mum was reminding me about it the other day because she had a big jam preserving pan. That's it, you know, and you put all the fruit in and should stew it up and make the jam. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Well, one day she went looking for it, but I was about 5 or 4 or something, and I'd seen Dad mixing concrete, and so I'd got Mum's preserving pan and I'd mix concrete, and Mum, she just wasn't happy. I mean, she threw a hissy fit, and because the concrete, of course, had set. You know, I'd made something and there was still left. And all Dad came along it when he came home from work was like, well, he made a good brew. And it's like, we can be thankful because we see things differently. Dad was looking at, I'd made a good brew. Mum was looking at, I've lost my preserving pan. But here was the early church, and there are some characteristics that the early church had. As Dad was teaching me about foundations and teaching me about making sure you build according to the foundations, the early church had these foundations. And so I just want to quickly share before we get into one part of it, and that was some of the characteristics as I've studied the book of Acts and I study the Gospels. That's where, as I've said here before, that's where I get my foundations from, because this is where Jesus was teaching and the apostles said. Those things which Jesus began to do and to say, that's where our reference point is. And so a characteristic of the early church was praise. Praise is not dependent on circumstances. Praise is dependent on appreciation of God. And the more you have an appreciation of God, you're going to live in an atmosphere of praise. The early church was built on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You see it time and time again. And yet we've had 2,000 years where people tried to build on something else. And they wondered why it never had the same impact. There it was. Paul would come along. And have you spoken in tongues yet? No. Well, then something would happen. On the day of Pentecost, speaking in tongues. Day of Samaria, speaking in tongues. Paul, speaking in tongues. It was their foundation. Why? Because it enables us to pray and connect with God in the Spirit in a way that our soul can't connect with God. In the early church, there was room for angelic activity. It was actually part of the foundations. They weren't scared of angels. I've had people say to me, you know, I don't talk about angels too much. Really? The Bible does. It talks about it a lot. But because it's supernatural, people go, well, you know, don't want too much of that supernatural stuff. Our problem is not too much of it. Our problem is not enough of it. The early church was founded and rooted on the supernatural. You and I happen to be supernatural beings who for a little while are living in a human body. But we are supernatural. Some people call me other things too. And so the other part of the church was boldness. Now you can't be boldness out of your humanity because someone else will shut you down. But when you are filled with the Holy Spirit and when you know the freedom of the Spirit, then you can be bold. And the reality is they talked about God's stories all the time. What God had done. What God had done. I love talking about what God's done in my life. Last Sunday night, I won't say I was preaching, I was trying to speak. In Lower Hutt, and I was just telling some stories. And suddenly, on Tuesday we get a, on Wednesday we got a testimony that I had told the story, and suddenly a lady encountered the same thing of what I'd just been telling the story about. And that's why the early church knew. You see, so often we'll say, oh, I don't really have a big story. Oh, yes, you do. You're alive. You're alive. And every human is born a winner. That's the way it is. Science taught me that. Science taught me that. My mum and dad, in a few weeks' time, they celebrate 70 years of marriage. And guess what? I didn't write the date on my calendar. And the day of their 70th wedding anniversary, I'm going to be in Scotland. But my mum's very gracious. When I had her in a headlock, she had to say, I forgive you. And so we sat with mum, and Debbie says, Seth's made a big mistake. What? He's going to be in Scotland. Oh, well, that's okay. We're going to be, we'll do it the weekend before. You're very gracious, mum, but fortunately I'm speaking in Auckland that weekend. We've sorted it out. So anyway, we're gonna have this celebration. Yeah. But mum goes very red when I talk about how I know everyone's born a winner. Because, you see, there were some spermies went looking for an egg, and one sperm won the race. Born a winner. Born a winner. God's story. Every one of us has got a God story. I love talking about the fact that when I was 7 years of age, the Spirit of God touched me. It didn't turn me into an instant saint. It turned me into a seven-year-old boy who was filled with the Spirit, with a hunger for God, and still was a bit of a rascal. But, you know, you and I are always work in progress. But it doesn't mean to say we shouldn't celebrate it, because it's far better to be work in progress from God than work in progress from the devil. Because there's only two options. You're either a work in progress of the devil, going from hell to hell to hell, from bad story to bad story to bad story, or going from faith to faith, and from glory to glory, and from victory to victory, and ascending the hill of the Lord. Let's make sure we're a part of God's story. Ah, the whole world lies in the hands of the wicked one, the Bible says, but not me. Ha ha! He lost out because he's a loser. And then the early church was characterized by great joy. But where do they get their great joy from? That's what we're going to talk about very quickly. I'm just looking for the clock because I get sidetracked here, and because I get hungry too. Especially when there's good kai coming up. I want to just briefly turn us, let's switch your Bibles on, and go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. This is sometimes called part of the foundations of the church. Here's the Apostle Paul giving instruction. He's giving instruction how to stay with your foundations. He'd said lots of things, but now he's saying, this is your checklist. This is what you need to think about. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 to 22, just for the sake of time, because time's important. It says here, rejoice always. Rejoice always. I've said before, but I'm going to say it again. This is the fourth biggest theme of Scripture. The biggest theme of Scripture, based on the amount of verses there are, is God. The biggest theme. The Scriptures just shout about. Second biggest theme is Jesus. Third biggest theme is holiness and righteousness. Why is that? Because the Bible says without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Now, I know that some people have different ideas of holiness. Some of it is really, really miserable. They're trying to be holy. You know, they try to dress a certain way. They try to act a certain way. I don't do that stuff very well. And when I was young, people would say to me, which way is your hair part? I could never decide, so I just went for the wide part. And so there's all sorts of situations. But God isn't looking at the outward appearance. Now, that doesn't mean to say I should just live in such a way that it's not God-honoring. But righteousness?
Ooh. What's that?
That means doing what Tony was just saying, accepting what Jesus paid for. He has become our righteousness. And when him and I become one, because that's what the Bible says, when we give our life to him, guess what? We become one. So his righteousness becomes my righteousness. And nothing can separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Neither death, nor hell, nor any principalities, nor power, nor anything else. So some say, well, the devil had a go at me. Well, so? So did the traffic cop. But I don't know who's got the greatest authority. The reality is this: we've got to learn to live in what we believe. Rejoice always, fourth biggest theme of Scripture. Why? Because joy brings victory. Joy brings victory. A joyless person is not a victorious person. And so, you see, there's lots of people live with a sin consciousness. Oh, you don't know how bad it's been. Oh, really? Let's talk. When I was at Sunday school last millennium, we used to sing a song, "Let's Talk About Jesus." And it just would go on about, "Let's talk about Jesus." And all I've found is this: the more you talk about Jesus, the more joy is in your life, the more victories in your life, the more faith's in your life, the more anything else. The more you talk about Jesus, the more of what Jesus paid for on the cross becomes part of your life. So rejoice always, pray continually. Oh, that's it, pray continually. This is a church that loves prayer. I love prayer too. But you know what? Prayer is not boring. Because Isaiah prophesied, the prophet about the kingdom of God prophesied, "I will give you joy in the house of prayer." And you've got people coming along, "Oh God, you see the terrible situation in the world." He already knows that. What are you telling him for? Because when you start talking like that, you're acting as if you don't think God's omnipotent. You are acting as if you don't think God knows what's going on, and you've got to be his news reporter. Well, I'm sorry, but you're redundant. The reality is, prayer is not telling God what the devil's doing. Prayer is praying what God's doing. It's focusing on the goodness of God. It's bringing heaven to earth. It's bringing heaven to earth. I know I've shared this story before, but I'll just do it again. You know, it's so easy. Pastor Tony, just let me for a minute. You know, this is what some people's prayer is. Just put your leg out here for a minute, brother. You know, some people are going, "Oh, Father, we're lifting Brother Tony's leg to you in prayer." Nice shoes. Oh, our job is not to lift legs to heaven, it's to bring heaven to earth. Oh, so we're going around lifting what's in earth up to heaven. Well, that's like dumb. Like, that's not in Scripture. Our job is to bring what's in heaven to earth. And so you've got to think about what's in heaven. That's why it says pray continually. What's in heaven is great honor. What's in heaven is great praise. What's in heaven is great joy. What's in heaven is total disorder. According to human understanding, when you think about it, I mean, the dignitaries of heaven can't even stand up. They keep falling over. They're flapping around the place. And every time someone says holy, they all fall over. It's like, so good. And then it says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the spirit. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. And test them all. Oh, that's that verse. Yeah, someone prophesied. Oh, I've just got to test it all. Yeah. Just make sure you're in the spirit when you start doing your testing. Because if you try to test the thing of the spirit out of your soul, you're going to get it wrong. And reject every kind of evil. What's evil? Albert Einstein, possibly one of the greatest scientists that ever lived. I love the fact that he gave me a definition, he gave the world a definition of evil. He said, evil is the absence of the presence of God. Reject every form of evil. Reject every part of life that is absent from the presence of God. And that's why David said, I hold the Lord always before me. So we're just quickly going to talk about these verses and a couple of things I'm going to talk about a couple of people. One is David and one is Jonah. Just slightly different stories. But we're going to talk about the importance of what we're going to do this, because this is the foundation of the church. I'm going to talk about thanksgiving. Because it says here, in everything give thanks. And immediately our humanity comes to a challenge, because we've heard already today there's a reality that life isn't always good. I've spoken to many youth camps and youth gatherings over the years, and sometimes they come along and go, you know what, just life's not fair. You know what, if you want to succeed in life, the first thing you've got to accept is life's not fair. Because where is that? Because the devil is out to... Life's not fair. He doesn't play by any rules. At the moment, we've got this thing going on in the world, and people are saying, but there's a breakdown of the rules-based things between nations. Because the Chinese are not playing according to the rules, and Russia's not playing according to the rules. Well, no. It's a bit like a businessman. I was playing golf with him last year, and he just, his business had been doing well in New Zealand. He'd gone up and Singapore, and it's not going so good. I said, did you study Asia before you went into business? What do you mean? I said, did you study the Chinese culture? He says, what did you mean? I said, you've got to understand, they don't play to your rules. They have a totally different rules, because they don't have a Christian Judaic ethic. They don't have a thing whereby it's still a case in law today. A handshake is a legal action. It's still law in New Zealand, in Britain, that if I was reading an article recently where, and it came down to the, and the judge asked them, did you do a handshake? And they said yes. He said, then it was settled. But in a different culture, it was, they had one objective, to smile and do you in. Because if they win and you lose, they are more honorable. It's a totally different mindset. It doesn't compute. And this businessman was there, why didn't someone tell me? I said, they think nothing about lying, because lying is based on truth. But if you don't have a concept of good and evil, if you don't have a concept of God being the source of truth and the devil being the source of lies, then lies is simply a mechanism to do you in. And he's like, ah. It's so different. And so you can't say it's fair or not fair if God's not in the question. Give thanks in all circumstances. That's a challenge. Come on, let's be honest. Tell the truth. Shame the devil. How many have found over the years this verse a bit of a challenge? Give thanks in all circumstances. You mean... Paul was a master of the Old Testament, as we call it. And he understood what we sometimes don't. So I'm going to give you some revelation, which I didn't get, but Paul gave me. And it's in the Old Testament. In the Hebrew, there are two words for giving thanks or thanksgiving. One word is a word, excuse my pronunciation, but it's Hebrew with a Kiwi accent. Yada. Now, I know that there's a saying, yada, 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 when someone's mouthing off. We're not talking about that. Yada is a Hebrew word which means to extend with worship your hands to the Lord, but it's talking about what's been, just like Tony was doing a yada at the start of service today. He was saying, God, this is the last 7 years. This is what we've seen. This is what we've seen. This is what we've seen. And it was awesome. I remember coming here the first time. Tony said, come and have a look at this building. It wasn't nice like it is now. It was a bit run down. It was a bit dirty. It was a bit everything else. But we were going like, yes, because I wasn't doing a yada. There's another word, which is toda, T-O-D-A-Y. The other is Y-A-D-A-H is the first one. T-O-D-A-H is the second one. Again, with worship, but it's actually saying what's coming. Not what's been, what's coming. And there are so many times the word thanksgiving all through the Psalms, David saying the Psalms, but he's actually thanking God for what's coming, for his goodness is going to come. He's going to answer prayers. He's going to establish his kingdom. He's going to do great things. Yes, he would sometimes talk about what had been, but it was then in the context of, yes, that's the yada, but this is the toda. Because if you can do that in the past, you're going to do even greater things in the future. And as we're here, and there's already been a prophetic word, which was saying, yes, God, this is what you've done, but what about the next 7 years? And so, Psalm 136, it give thanks to the Lord, and it goes on, and his love endures forever. That's talking about what's been. But there is a psalm which some of you will know, Psalm 100, called the 100th. Yes, enter his gates with thanksgiving. That's not thanking for the past. Enter his gates with thanksgiving for what is about to happen. That's the realm of faith. And think about Jesus. Jesus, for the joy set before him, endured the cross. Why? Because he was giving thanks for the victory that was ahead. And so therefore that level of thanksgiving is what gives joy to our life, so we're able to overcome the stuff that we face every day. And so when we focus on the greatness of God and not the greatness of the devil, we've all got problems. We all do. My grandson the other day comes along to me and says, Papa, can I have your card, please? Meaning my credit card. He says, I know how to use them. So I gave him the credit card. He said, what's the number, please? I said, I'm not giving it to you. He said, but Mum uses the card. Yeah. But I'm not giving it to you. He was like, why not? I said, because you have to wait a few years. He says, oh, will you give me the number then? I said, yes. But I didn't say how many few years was. But the reality is, we can have problems of this sort and that sort. And we can spend more time thinking about the problems, about the past, about the circumstances, than we spend time thanking God for his goodness and for what's going to come. I was sharing some of this in Lower Hutt recently, and the building there is amazing. As we And there's a man who's just started to come to church, and he'd been involved with hardware and everything else and stuff years ago, and his father was, and he said to me, it's really amazing to think that the building used to be a hardware store and you've turned it into a house of worship. He says, can I write an article about this for the local thing in the hut? I said, sure. It's a great God story. But we never got it by going, oh God, you know, we can't afford this and we can't afford that. And we can't. Because if you keep talking about what you can't afford, I'll tell you a clue, you're never going to afford it. But if you start thanking God for his goodness and thanking God for his bounty and recognizing he's the source of everything. Now, his timing doesn't always fit with your timing. Just deal with it. There's another word called grow up. Because his thoughts are only good to us continually. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. As we came in this morning, I drove up here this morning saying, God, I thank you for what you're about to do in the life of Hope Center Levin. That 7 years ago was one thing, but now it's another thing. I thank God sitting there this morning that there's a building next door which was a write-off, but now it's a write-on. And so therefore, God doesn't give us seats and buildings without he's got purposes and plans to use those buildings and those seats. And he doesn't do that because he's not wasteful, but he is visionary. And he's saying, can you line up with your thanksgiving of faith with what I've got in store? But if we spend more time thinking about the past and the present than the future and the destiny, we don't get the destiny. I was just speaking about David very briefly. I want to talk about Jonah. Jonah, he got himself into deep weeds. Deep, deep weeds. Like weeds in the pit of a fish down in the middle of a sea. He was really, really, really in trouble. I mean, when you think about it, he was down there and a bit of seaweed around here and a bit of this. And in Jonah chapter 2, it says this. My soul fainted within me. And it actually, in another part, it talks about the weeds were around me. It actually says that. My soul fainted within me and my prayer went up to you. Those who regard worthless idols, in other words, focusing on what humans can do, not what God can do, forsake the grace that could be theirs, says in my NLV. But Jonah says, down there in deep weeds, but I will sacrifice to you with a voice of thanksgiving, and I will pay what I vowed, salvation is of the Lord. So he was not talking about what got him into the situation. He said, I'm going to sacrifice a thanksgiving of the future. And that thanksgiving is what got him out of his problem. What does it say in Romans chapter 1? Talking about Christians, talking about people who knew God. Romans chapter 1 verse 21 says this, for although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Lack of thanksgiving will bring darkness into your life. That's an amazing thing. And here we see Jonah with thanksgiving came from the darkest place to then transforming cities and nations. Remember, Jonah is not a story. Jonah is a prophecy. Jonah is not a storyteller. He is one of the prophets. Don't think of Jonah just as a Bible story. It's a great story, But there's a prophecy within the story, and too many times people have only told the story and not the prophecy that the story is trying to tell. The prophecy is, if you do it your own way, you're going to get what you're in, deep weeds and darkness. But the truth is this, that as you offer a thanksgiving to God, He can redeem your situation. He can bring you out of darkness. He can bring life where there was only death. Thanksgiving will transform every situation, and thanksgiving will take us from this day to 7 years' time. It's not going to be strategic planning. It's not going to be the human wisdom. It's going to be a thanksgiving which is fueled by the Holy Spirit, and then a joy of victory will come. And so don't let your eyes see what the world sees, because your eyes are designed to see what God sees. The Bible says, having the eyes of their understanding darkened. Hoo-yah! But you and I are called to be people of light. That means our eyes are opened and we can see. And what does it say about the eyes of our heart? Because our heart is our belief system. And if your eyes become darkened in your heart, you're not going to believe nothing. That's good Kiwi. But you start allowing your eyes of your heart to be opened. Oh, what happens? You let the eyes of your heart be opened, and suddenly you're looking at the situation. I believe. Shh, I believe. Oh, did you see the darkness? I used to drive around New Zealand into different places, and they'd be inviting me in. They don't ask me that question now. They'd come in and they'd say to me, oh, when you came into our town, did you feel the darkness? And I'll go, no. And they look at me like, oh, I thought you were supposed to be spiritual. I am. That's why I'm living in light, Dumbo. I mean, why live in darkness when it's opportunity to live in light? Because light dispels darkness. Darkness has no substance. Science teaches me that. Darkness is just the absence of light. You can't go and buy a room full of darkness. But you can pay a price and have a room full of light. Because that's all darkness is. Science says it's just the absence of light. And so if you felt the darkness, then get on light. Be a light. That's why Jesus said, be a light. And so, yeah, and so in just a minute, we're going to be praying for you that there will be a glorious light of faith and a light of joy and a light of victory, because these things are all linked. This is the foundations that the early church built upon, and it's the foundations that we are to build upon. So, Colossians 3, nearly getting ready to close. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks. It doesn't say some of what you do. It says everything you do, give thanks. But that's the faith one. Giving thanks. Giving thanks. Giving thanks. Giving thanks. Giving thanks, giving thanks, giving thanks, giving thanks. Well, I don't feel like it today. Well, get over yourself. Give thanks. I'm not feeling good. So when the moment you say, like a lady came up to me a little while ago, I'm not picking on ladies because I'll tell a men's story soon. She came up to me and says, well, I don't think, lady, I says, we're not living this church by your soul. Because thinking comes out of the soul. And the man came up to me, I feel, I says, we're not living out of your soul. What have you got as a revelation of the Spirit? What has the Spirit said? Because we're called to walk by faith and not by sight. Whatever you do, giving thanks, that's not an optional extra. That's a foundation. Giving thanks. Now, what does giving thanks do? Well, Jesus was just about to empower his disciples to do a miracle to feed 5,000. Just remember, the disciples broke the bread, not Jesus. But what was the first thing Jesus did? Give thanks. Giving thanks released a miracle. Before the feeding of 4,000 with 7 loaves and 4 fish. It's amazing how Jesus invented the fish burger. That's what you read every time he provided he fed them with fish burgers. That's awesome. That's why we go to the, I can understand why you wanted to go to McDonald's, because in most places it's called the Scottish restaurant, McDonald's. Thanksgiving released the power of God. What happened to Lazarus? Lord, I thank you that you're about to do a miracle and you're about to release your glory. Bingo. Disobedient Lazarus comes out of the grave because he was told to come forth and he came first. Just out he comes. And so the reality is Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving has released so much. What's Thanksgiving done for me? In a few weeks' time, I'm going to be in Poland. Can't speak Polish, but that's okay. And that'll be the 35th country I have ministered in for a boy who never expected to leave New Zealand. But the story goes back many years in a prayer room, in our prayer room. Big map of the world, some of you have seen it. And I was there at 5 o'clock one morning, just me and the Lord. And God was stirring me, asking me, and I'll give you the nations. And I says, God, I don't know how to ask. But I do know this, that if I ask, it means I'm going to take spiritual responsibility as well. I didn't know what to do, and I'm just speaking in tongues, and then suddenly he just prompted me, and I said, Lord, I thank you. And at that stage, there was about 10 nations, 12 nations I'd actually ministered in. Lord, I thank you for Japan. I thank you for Hong Kong. I thank you for Korea. I thank you for India. I just started thanking God for, I thank you for England. I started thanking God for where I had been. And then suddenly an unction came on me. And I said, Lord, I thank you. And I said, I thank you for the Philippines. And I went through a whole list. And I'll just say, I thank you for the Philippines. And I thank you for Sri Lanka. And I thank you for Germany. And I thank you for Scotland. And I thank you for Netherlands. And I thank you for France. And I thank you for... And I started thanking God for nations I'd never been in. Because I had shifted from thanksgiving for what had been to thanksgiving for what was come. I didn't understand the revelation. But God gave me a revelation about this, thanking God for what was to come. And out of all those nations, Poland was one of them, and the last nation I remember is yet to be fulfilled is Denmark. I have no connections in Denmark. It's a bit like I thank God for Ukraine. I had no connections in Denmark, but I've been in Ukraine, and they're asking me, when are you coming back again? I've been there 4 times now. Because I thank God believing that he is faithful. I thank God believing that he hears. I thank God because his thoughts are greater than my thoughts. I thank God because I can trust him. And if you will thank God out of a trust, not a worry, you'll get victories. Hallelujah. If you will thank God out of understanding of his goodness, he will supply every need. So, genuinely, in closing, we go back to our first verse. In everything, giving thanks. For this is God's will for you. It's so easy to stand and go, oh God, I want to do your will. I'm telling you how to do God's will. Ja-ja-ha. encourage you. We look backwards, but more importantly, we look forward. Hallelujah. We look forward. And there's an old song we used to sometimes sing when I was a kid. You know, how good is the God we adore, our faithful, unchangeable friend. And one of the, we'll praise him for all that has passed and trust him for all that's to come. Hallelujah. Yeah. Oh, Shukula, I thank God I was baptized in the Spirit when I was 7 years of age. I thank God for that. And I've spoken in tongues every day ever since. Oh, but I thank God for what's about to come. I thank God for the healings I see. The other night, I was just preaching in Lower Heart. And, of course, we're live streaming. And I looked, turned to the camera, and I just didn't know which one they were using. There was one up on the thing. I said, I'm looking at the camera because someone is watching right now, and you've got a pain in your left shoulder, and it's been crippling you. I heard on Tuesday morning we'd been contacted, and a lady down in the South Island had been watching, and suddenly the power of God came through her and she was miraculously healed in that moment, just sitting down in the South Island, because God is no respecter of persons, and he doesn't care whether he uses radio waves or anything else, because he invented it in the first place. And so the thing is this, that we can trust the promptings of the Spirit, and we can trust the leading of the Spirit, and we can trust the revelations of the Spirit. But the Bible says, don't trust in our humanity, and don't trust in our humanity. Don't trust in what humans are capable of, but trust in the living God, the maker of heaven and earth. And I was telling the story of supernatural money. I hadn't told the story in Lower Hutt for ages last Sunday night. And guess what happened? I heard the story on Tuesday of a lady who had supernatural money suddenly appear in her purse. And she knew it wasn't there because she'd gone in there just before. And then suddenly her son said, can I have money for this? And she said, I've got no money. And suddenly she thought, oh. Seth told that story and prayed. She opened up and there it was. He say, and people have said to me, well, what about it? How does that work with the Reserve Bank and all that? If God can do it, he can sort out the Reserve Bank. That's not your problem. Your problem is not to try to reason yourself out of a God miracle. Your problem is to accept and believe. The Bible doesn't say you receive salvation by reasoning. It says you receive salvation by faith. It's you get it by believing. And so everything about faith is believing. Now, I'm an engineer background. I know how to do all that stuff, but I do it as a background to my faith, not as an obstacle for my faith. It's a platform to go further. Yo, hey, yeah. My brain is not to work out, well, why won't God do that? He's God. Why wouldn't he? I mean, have you seen some of the animals he created? Why would God do that? Because he's God. And he says he wants to confound those who rely on human wisdom. But the simple, the people of faith, he loves to show himself strong. Let's stand. I'm glad I was able to be with you this morning. Right now, the presence of God is here. It's been said recently about me, if Seth comes to preach, you're either going to hear about revival, faith, the Holy Spirit, or joy. You just got a smidgen of all of that, but another one got thrown in, thanksgiving. In a whole new way, but it's actually faith. I want to pray for you and the journey of the next 7 years. And then if you would like prayer, just come on up. And then I'm doing good for lunch. We're all good.
12:30.
It's lunch. Yeah. So it's we've got time. As I start to pray, I want you to start to pray thanksgiving for the future. Thanksgiving for the family members who are not yet following Jesus. thanksgiving for the people who one time did, but have allowed distractions of the world to sidetrack them. Had a person like that in Lower Hutt recently, and they walked in and just said, I've come back home. It happens. The stories in the scripture talk about it. Father, and we come again because you're good. And Lord, there is an element of thanksgiving for the last 7 years which has already taken place, and there is an honor in doing that. And so we honor you for the way you have stirred hearts. We honor you for the way that you have empowered people. So Lord, we give a thanksgiving for the last 7 years. But this morning, Lord, I'm asking that there would be an empowering in every one of us, both individually and corporately. There would be an empowering for a thanksgiving which releases the future, which releases your activity in the future. We thank you, Lord, that the righteous walk by faith, live by faith, understand things by faith. And so right now I'm asking, Holy Spirit, that you would come in a fresh way, in a way that you have not done before, and be use the last 7 years as the launch pad for the next 7 years. We thank you, Lord, that 7 years is a great time in God's calendar. And so I'm asking for every individual here that there would be a spirit of wisdom and revelation come upon them, that they would know Jesus better. That's what scripture says, and that means there is a knowledge and an encounter and an understanding which they have not had in the past. Otherwise it's not better. And so Lord, we're releasing that wisdom and that revelation that they have not had before, so that they would know things better. Holy Spirit, I'm asking you would just come in a glorious way as we build on the foundations of the early church, as we build on what you've done here in 7 years. But we say thank you, Lord, for the 130,000 that has just come in. But Lord, you're no limiting to 100,000. Lord, you've got greater things yet in store. And so we thank you for 1 million kids, Lord, 1 million children to know who Jesus is. We thank you for a harvest that is unmeasurable. We thank you that your word speaks about an end time harvest whereby the nets would even break, and where churches will have to work together, and the boats will have to support each other. And so we thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in Levin. We thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in Horowhenua. We thank you for what you're doing in New Zealand. We thank you, Lord, that you're doing great things. And we make our boast in you. We make our boast in you. Lord, we don't rely upon ourselves. Our trust is in the living God. And so, Holy Spirit, I thank you for that. Faith. Uyaha. Wahomomana. Shukurarabashindi. Rendaradamashundurulalaya. Retayasula. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. Oh. Yeah. Can you just, you yourself right now, I know we haven't prayed for you yet, but just yourself right now, as God has stirred something inside you, lay hands on yourself right now and minister to your faith. Minister to your faith. You just go ahead. The Bible speaks about speaking to yourself. And so minister to your faith right now, because you see, in the middle of the week, you're going to have to still be ministering to your faith. And in the middle of next month, you're still going to have to be ministering to your faith. And so minister to your faith right now. Hura mama shukura. You can do it any way you like. You can speak in tongues, minister to your faith. You can say the name of Jesus, minister to your faith. Just receive and minister to it now. Water that seed, water that plant, water those seedlings that have gone in, whatever it's been. Oh Lord, I thank you that there is an intentional watering that has to take place, an intentional watering. An intentional ministering to it. Whoa, yeah. Hamamorondora rara bashandala. Renda na mamondorora shiakala yanda. Renda da yanda da manda la bo. Oh, yeah. Ha, sukula lala. Oh, yeah. Would there be some oil around the place, Tony? I'm sure we can get some. You've got some oil? Because just now I just felt, oh, here we go. Thank you. What I'm going to invite you to do and is I just feel like anointing every one of you for the journey ahead. For the journey ahead, anointing every one of you. And because there's something that just happens. And I just want to give an apostolic blessing. I was down south recently at the revival school and along with some other leaders, and someone made a comment at the end. They said, well, you know, because they'd come from a certain expression, they said, you know, it was a bit apostle heavy because there was a few apostles there. I said, so was the early church, by the way. That's what changed the world. It wasn't Constantine that suddenly caused the Roman Empire to suddenly change. It had already massively changed before then. He was just lining up with what God had already done. But there is something that happens, and we've just got Paul and Jody have just joined the team in Lower Hutt, and he's executive pastor, which someone said to me, what does that mean? It means he gets to do all the things I don't want to do. And next year he'll be taking over, and we're so excited, and we were just but he was just telling the church the other Sunday, as we were just inducting him as executive pastor, he's there because he was busy going, oh, I'm not Seth. I mean, you can thank God for that. But God showed him the pattern in Scripture. There's one where Paul said, Paul, an apostle. And he went, Seth is an apostle. Everyone recognizes that. He says, I'm Paul, called to be an apostle. And he says, I accept that calling to grow up into something else. But there's something that happens when apostles just lay hands on people, because there is an empowerment, there's a strength, there is a joy, there is a foundation that gets imparted into people's lives, and their hope, their faith, it's just what we have that we can impart. And freely we have, freely we give. Father, I thank you for Living Hope Center.
Hallelujah.
And I thank you that in this imparting and this activating and this sealing by your Spirit, so to speak, of preparation for the next 7 years.
Hallelujah.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.